And we have now to heritage tourism. I picked up, there are some mention about archaeological tourism. A reference from Professor Ketan Puri of Deccan College, Pune, believes that an important but neglected form of tourism is archaeological tourism or Puriyaparyatan. Hamare purkhon ne humse pehle jo 200 300 saal pehle kya bana, some of them are preserved, some are in a very bad shape, some have totally distorted altogether. There are a huge number of sites identified by Archaeological Survey of India. Some progress on the restoring, face uplifting has been ongoing, and some have just been abandoned because of those heritage and national heritage sites, archaeological sites, are beyond repair and maintenance. They have just got decayed or destroyed. One of the such example I would pick up from Khajuraho temple that was lost in the middle of jungle for over 100 years. And then it was explored by a British explorer who found out that these type of temples exist in Khajuraho, which were far away from the main city of Khajuraho, and it was rediscovered. And lot of statues and murtis around there, including the temple that exists now, got damaged by the human pilferage and human activities. So heritage tourism is something new, but it doesn't meet the taste of many of us. It has a specific type of tourists who look forward for that. But yes, it's an exploring new products. Spiritual tourism has always been seen. India has been always seen as a destination, as a fascinating country by international tourists. A lot of explorers came to India exploring this new thing of spiritual and religious tourism. We have on record Hyun Song, who came in to study Buddhism, and it took huge number of books by sea to go down to China along with him. Many of them old book sculptures and the literature that he took got destroyed in the high seas. So spiritual tourism and religious tourism, India is a ground for it. India is a cradle of all religion, possibly all religion of the world. In India, we do have people practicing this religion, and many of the sites are really very much of an archaeological importance. So yes, spiritual tourism, religious tourism has also picked up for many of us. And like what we see in the form of Ram Mandir that has come up, and there is a big demand, though it is built in recent years, but it has that religious and spiritual information. A disturbing area of exploring new product is referred to as a war tourism or a dark tourism. Yeah, it looks like awkward, the word itself, like a war tourism or like an genocide happened somewhere, and that is being shown to the modern world as to what happened in that area. That type of a tourism could be an isolated building, an area, or places associated with mysterious and bad memory. One of the finest example I can give you is Jallianwala Bagh in Punjab, where X number of people jumped into the well and died after the British general order for a shootout. Okay? So that was a dark tourism. One of such example could be a genocide museum in Phnom Penh in Cambodia, which is a genocide museum where 2 million people in course of time in 2.5-3 years were killed by the then ruling government under Pol Pot, who killed 2 million people approximately into that genocide ground. And there is a genocide activities happening. Likewise, the genocide museum or area in Kigali, where the Rwandan and Congo citizens from two different tribes fought together, and it's a memorial site how with intention members of different tribes were killed by one another. So that's a dark tourism. Due to the fear and natural attraction to uncover the mystery of the death of human beings, always have some tourists prefer to visit the destinations such as battlefield, places of violent homicides, and so on. These are the such places are seen practically war memorial museum, war memorial ground in different parts, like in Philippines, Manila, you have this war memorial, American war memorial ground, or you have this in many other cities of the world. I gave a reference of Jallianwala Bagh, that as a memory related to General Dyer killing number of Indians into the dark area. Another area of popular location for dark tourism, like Chernobyl and Pripyat in Ukraine, Ground Zero, the World Trade Center, the famous 9/11 attack, the Ground Zero of the World Trade Center, and this one in Poland, then Costa Granadia in Tuscany, Italy, and other ranging from various other areas, other emerging concept of ethno-tourism or community-based ecotourism, mind tourism. I've got a lot of such things that I can share with you, like during the war between Iraq and Iran, or Gulf War between Kuwait and the other countries of the world. Saddam Hussein, when he left the Kuwait, the city of Kuwait or the country Kuwait, he left oil well burning. People go down and see. People also go down and see the erupted volcano. You see? And they want to see that as a tourism. So these are quite a few references of dark tourism that I want to mention. Some are internationally picked up. Of course, I added the Jallianwala Bagh from Indian perspective. In recent year, ecotourism gained a great deal of attention, especially it was emphasized by the international organization that unless we take environment of around us, we are not going to retain the continuity of the tourism growth. If at all it continues to grow, it will not be we will not be retaining our environment and ecology around us in the way it is with us. It is believed that all that we own now is borrowed from the future generation. And the future generation is not going to spare us in criticizing us for overutilizing, disturbing the thing that we should have left for them, but we utilize them to the maximum possibility. So, yes, ethnotourism or community-based ecotourism has picked up a great momentum. People would like to see, suppose host community, learn how they live, how the community can be helped, people living around the area of ecologically protected site, archaeological site, or resorts being built, you need to support the local community. Mind tourism, yes. One such theme already thriving is the mind tourism. This trend is catching up in India too. Western Coalfield Limited and Maharashtra Tourism Development Corporation have tied up to promote mind tourism in the Vidarbha region towards Nagpur site. So these were a few examples. Other emerging trends we should not forget. Polar tourism going down to North Pole or South Pole. South Pole, we famously talk about Antarctica. In North Pole, many tourists go down to have a look at midnight sun in the month of July and August, where you can watch sun shining until whole night. And in one single frame, you can click sun and the moon at the same time, because it is at a point it is near the North Pole or the South Pole, Antarctica, a lot of tourists go down. Some of the explorers, basically, not on a big way. Yes, so polar tourism is people would like to explore Antarctica, which belongs to no one. And these are very few researchers and work that's going to happen. Space tourism, forest therapy trend, hobbying trend. I have made a reference of volcano tourism, sleep tourism, and dupe travel trend. So these are few trends that are happening, and people are looking forward for that as they grow. One by one, we'll pick up. Polar tourism is dynamically growing industry due to the efforts of tour operators to provide various attractions and activities for their customers. Polar regions such as the Arctic and the Antarctic have always attracted tourists. I made a mention of it. People go to Norway and further to watch a midnight sun. There is our special tour that are operated from the many parts of Europe in the month of July and August, where they keep and go to see midnight sun in the 12 o'clock night. Space tourism is no more a fantasy. It has happened, though the cost of the space tourism is drastic very much. It includes orbital and suborbital rocket flights into space. Riding into the space for recreation and a unique experience was the idea behind this type of tourism. And once it becomes affordable, definitely this will pick up momentum. Many, by the end of this century, I hope space tourism will be quite popular, where one would be interested in going into space tourism and enjoy and see the whole planet and the universe with the eyes and watch sunset and sunrise possibly 5 times in 24 hours, 5 to 6 times. I've spoken to one or two space travelers, and they have discussed that how when you are in a space, you can see sunrise and sunshine in 24 hours, maybe 4 to 5 times and more than that. So that's a space tourism. It's no more a fantasy. There are recorded that people have gone into space tourism and the forest bathing to ice water dipping. And more, travelers are looking to explore the idea of therapeutic benefit from the nature. Yes? Yeah, there are a lot of such therapy that works. One of the list of travel is the forest therapy, that also known as wilderness therapy or ecotherapy, is an idea behind this wellness trend. So you go to the forest, like our ancestors used to live in forest, something of that nature would be adopted, and you live in a forest therapy, and that's a trend that has picked up, because in the forest, especially the thick forest of Amazon and other forests, it is wonderful to be in the forest and enjoy that type of a tourism activities. And these are some examples of forest therapy, a trend that has picked up. Hobby daying is a trend, is the new travel buzzword. The hobby day trend underscores a broader societal movement towards experience travel, emphasizing personal growth and engagement as the holiday experience, says Hemant Mediratta, a travel industry expert, that yes, I want to mindfulness emerges as a common thread among hobbydayers, finding solace and fulfillment in experience that captivate their senses and promote heightened sense of presence. You physically feel present there, what you are experiencing. That's hobbydaying. These are some examples picked up. Hobbyday, new travel trend. And it has picked up a lot of such things. Oh, hobby day. Few more examples here on this sheet of hobby day. I made a mention of the volcanic tourism. Volcano tourism falls under the umbrella of the geotourism, showcasing geological wonders like flowing lava, swimming ponds, hot spring, and bubbling mud pools. there are still number of volcano which are active around the world. And there are some tour operators which take you to such erupted volcano which are in action from the other angle where lava doesn't keep flowing on the same side where tourists go and watch. So this is a volcano tourism that I'm talking of. Look at this example. Volcano tourism for the thrill seekers and lava chasers. Yeah, you need to be a lot of adventure into your thing where you would be enjoying the eruption of volcano. What is a sleep tourism? That's a new international trend that we are talking. Sleep tourism is an increasing number of hotels are enhancing their services to cater to guests seeking a regeneration rest experience. In old times, this used to be a sign outside a honeymoon couple in a hotel room. Do not disturb, newly married. Yeah? But the sleep tourism is a type of tourism where people travel to a destination specifically to sleep, relax and recharge. Don't disturb. So this particular component of a tourism does not only apply to honeymooners who were displaying a sign outside their room, newly married, don't disturb, for 2 days or one full day. Do not disturb. This sign is now sleep tourism has picked up momentum. Good number of international tourists are going for sleep tourism where they would like to get cut off. They don't want to hear what is happening. They don't want to just think of a normal routine 9-to-5 type of an activity. They would just like to relax and recharge. Rather than filling their schedule with non-stop activities like going city tour, going dining, eating, coming back, shopping, city tours, etc. They don't want to do that. As now opting to purse a pillow means and turn in early for the night. So possibly sleep at 7 o'clock and get up by 8:30 and 9. So full 12-hour non-stop sleep. Dupe travel. Now what is a dupe travel? Let's understand that. Dupe travel is a trend in which people share their preferred alternatives for famous destination. An example here given by Melin Fish, chief trend tracker for Expedia, dupes are destinations that are a little unexpected, sometimes more affordable, but every bit is delightful as the popular place that travelers love to visit globally. So some destination in your mindset that, yes, this is what happens there. And you are duping that and going to another destination and enjoying that, which is affordable well compared to what you are duping with is possibly not affordable with you. And this has picked up a momentum for those type of travel. So according to Expedia's list, popular dupes worldwide include Taipei instead of Seoul, Perth instead of Sydney, Pattaya instead of Bangkok, Palermo instead of Lisbon, Quebec City instead of Geneva, and Memphis instead of Nashville. In this context, preferred destination in India are Gokarna instead of Goa and Lachin instead of Ladakh. Some examples to understand what does it mean. Identical, like some names given in the past. For example, Bangkok or in Cambodia, Siem Reap. They are known as Venice of the East. Yeah, because they have the city and the town along with the river path, which means along with the river, very much like in Venice. Yeah. But this is a duping where mean, oh, you enjoy some of the things which are available. So I can't afford that. So I would go to so-and-so place. Yeah? Like we have a lot of hill stations where people, if they can't afford, they go to a smaller hill station. Yeah. So this is some example from there. So with this, I want to add one more thing which I see as a future trend. Possibly by the turn of the century, could be submarine tourism. Yeah, we have the famous story of some of the five adventure tourists who were taken down and went into 3,000 meters down to see the wreckage of Titanic, and finally that submarine exploded and they died into that deep water of 3,000 meters, which means 3 kilometers down the sea. But surely in certain parts, submarine tourism has picked up where they go down as low as 1 kilometer deep into the sea. And some successful trips, especially by the cruise liner, have been very much successful. And then zero gravity tourism. A lot of such places where people love to see and feel on a zero gravity. Some of the cruise liners have put up this of zero gravity tourism, which means you float like as you float in the space craft. Okay, thank you very much. You were listening to Professor Sheikh Rahmatullah. It was a pleasure talking to you, and thank you for listening.